gonna make it. Now they got good things, got you. Hoops and everything, get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only, only a part of this when you...
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Well, we're only 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out from the start of the NRL season with Las Vegas, Nevada, Sunday week, all warming up. Very, very exciting stuff. A lot of good trial matches this weekend with the All-Stars match as well. The Maoris taking down the Indigenous All-Star 10-6. We've got a very special show tonight. We've got a mid-ranges specials where we're focusing on players priced between 350k and 500k. And joining me to dissect the burial ground that is mid-ranges, it's coach of Tubes' pods. Tubes, after a hot start last week, thanks for coming back for week two.
Yeah, no, good to be here. Nice to get some few tech upgrades this week. Feeling a bit more professional. I've gone for a bit of a clean cut haircut now that it seems like we're doing this video thing. So I thought I'd spruce up a little bit for today's episode.
Yeah, once we get the webcam sorted, you'll be airborne. It's production quality through the roof. Did you catch any trials on the weekend, Tubes, by any chance?
Mostly a few KO minis to catch up just to see how things are going. I did watch a little bit of that first section of the Eels game, it didn't take long for Iongi to slot into my team and have a quick look around. But then I thought it was a bit of an interesting one with that number 14, I think, that came off the... Oh, he was in the 2024 jersey or something like that, who played the second half and looked unbelievable at fullback for Parramatta. So might be a hotter competition there than we think.
It's Josiah Papali'i, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Iongi looked good.
He turned up on the scores.
Iongi looked good for his limited time, but Papali'i looks like a sort of like Keanu Kinney, like, you know, just unbelievable, looks like a freak athlete, but, you know, bit on the shorter side for a fullback.
Very interesting. Also joining me tonight from London, coach of the Casabonitas, former third place overall finisher, Dan Ricks. Danny boy, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I feel good with these tech upgrades as well. I just got to get the studio sorted. A few renovations at home should do the trick. But coming out of winter time a little bit of London, a little bit brighter in the day, which is nice. And a little bit of footy on the TV in the mornings over here. So yeah, good to get back into it.
So you got your little Lakes jumper on there. That's nice for a cool morning in London. Yeah,
bit of merch, you know. Just hoping hoping for some drier days so I can get out on course. Don't have to resort to the sim every week. But
you've shaved the Damien Cook goatee.
Yeah, what's happened there? Homage. What's a go? We got to get Cookie on the pod one day.
Yeah, we'll get him on. He's a friend of the show. I don't think he's ever, I think he's a big listener. I don't think he's ever big come listener. On the show. Big listener. And his brother Simon is giving me tips every week. I know he's on the blower every week to Damien, tell him how he's playing, how many runs to have each week. So yeah, it'll be interesting this year, Damien at the Dragons.
A lot of correlation between you two, actually. You were probably a bit less successful in the beach sprinting flags department, but still pretty good at it. And then similar goatee department as well. Like,
and similar rugby league career, just six levels below.
Yeah, what was it? Started in the halves, went to hooker. That's enough about my rugby league career.
All right, let's get on with it. We do have our group code open for this season, and I'm telling you, you're going to want to be in there in this group for later in the year. We are going to have some monster prizes available. So if you can jump in, 730-444-730-444 is the Pod Open League for this season. So jump on in there when you get a chance. We're going to have some major prizes with some big sponsors coming on board. So very exciting, and you got to be in there to have your crack at the prize. All right, let's get into mid-ranges. Enough faffing around. Dan, mid-ranges, 350K to 500K is where we're focusing our attention. Now, generally how you classify mid-ranger and why those players are in that price range, they're either career mid-rangers, someone like a Chad Townsend at the lower end of that spectrum. They're fallen guns, so previously gun super coach players who might have had a down year, you know, they might have lost a bit of form or lost a role, and they're sort of prevailing as a as an option for this season. You got guys coming back from injury impacted seasons last year, so you know, certainly a guy who's probably not a mid ranger, Tino Fasil Meliaui, he's in that sort of mid range price bracket. We won't get into him tonight because he's obviously he's a gun. But he's obviously coming back from that injury. And then you've got guys who have new and emerging roles. So, you know, who maybe the minutes weren't just there for last year or this year. They got a nice new role on an edge, particularly, or on a nice wing for their NRL club. So they're the sort of guys that we're going to be looking at tonight. And we're going to try and focus on the high ownership ones as well. So the guys who are really, you know, catching the attention of super coaches out there. Dan, we chatted a little bit last week on mid-ranges and why, with sort of the amount of cheapies prevailing this year, why we're sort of potentially looking away from the mid-ranges. But that's not to say that there aren't one or two that can catch your eye. How are you approaching mid-ranges this season, and what's your general sort of disposition towards them?
Yeah, so it was interesting going through for this pod, kind of going through the lists, writing down all the mid ranges, and I'm kind of in the field of not wanting to touch any of them early on if I can. They're all very interesting, so it's more just to like who potentially can get off to a hot start. But because of the size of the field of mid ranges, it's really hard to take a flyer on any of them and get lucky. So, you know, I'd rather take a flyer on someone who's 230K compared to 400K just because of the amount of cash it gives you to upgrade elsewhere. And then if you don't get off to a hot start with a mid-ranger, you can sometimes just hold on to them for too long because you're expecting them to get back to where you initially thought they were going to get to at the start of the season, a la Sean Lane last year. A lot of people said, you know, he could get back to gun status, held on to him 6, 7, 10 rounds go by, and he still just hasn't done anything. So I just think they can get stuck in your team, and they're always in your 17, and they just sometimes don't perform that well for you. So for that reason, I'm going to try to sit back as much as I can, get the cheapies and the guns, and then hopefully a couple of those mid-rangers hit early. I can pick them up early when I see the signs are there.
Yeah, I think that's my general approach as well, is that I always get sucked in a little bit in pre-season to, you know, one or two guys this year as well, like Seyfarth caught my attention a bit. Don't think he's particularly great NRL, but, you know, that role that if he does get that 80-minute role, it's looking like he's going to get that role. It's very enticing. He's a big sort of, he does have a good PPM of points per minute. But I think you're right, is that it's been a graveyard. Like, these guys will hit, one of them or two of them will hit, but picking out which one can be very, very tricky to do because they all kind of look like they could kick on. But they're sort of that in that right in between being someone who you want in your 17 versus someone who's going to make cash. And generally, if they don't do one, they're not going to do both. So you get hit on both angles there, where they're not a super playable gun option without the upside, and they're not making money. So it's really that I want to say double edged sword, but that's not the right term. But it can be quite tricky. And you mentioned Sean Lane as well. You said he can get stuck in your side. He never left my team. 27 rounds all year. Very, very tricky. And I never wanted to play him. So he became an AE. Yeah, so it certainly rings true. Tubes, what's your mid-range strategy at this point of the preseason?
I think I said it last week. Like, I just don't want them at all. I think what you just said about some will hit, I think it's obvious usually which ones will hit, and then we hope for some of the other ones. This year, we'll probably talk about a few tonight, but there's maybe one or two that stand out above the pack as possibilities if the minutes are going to be there. But on the whole, I think that it's a bit of a dumpster fire, and that's why I'm really keen on the cheapies and guns strategy. But maybe tonight will talk me into a few of them.
Yeah, look, I've got a few thoughts on, especially like positions wise. I think there's a cut, like two RFs are probably the most dangerous in my opinion. I think there's some other ones, and also we need to say that this is a spectrum, right? Like 350k is very different to 500k for some of these positions. You know, we're talking about 15 to 16 points worth of value there. So every player has to be put into their own context. We're going to do this positionally. So we'll start at the top with hooker, and there aren't many mid-rangers in hooker, Dan. Brendan Hands comes up just under the 350k at 349k. So we'll have a quick chat about him. It's just completely role-dependent, Brendan Hands. If he's got the 80-minute hooking role, then it's probably a pretty hard yes for a lot of super coaches, I would have thought.
Well, I got suckered into Brendan Hands last year, so I think Joey Lussick got the start. Hands might have been injured as well or something, but when Brendan Hands came and played an 80-minute game, Lussick had seemed to be out of the side. I'm like, yep, this is it, low price. Let's get on. And yeah, to be honest, he looked okay, but then Joey Lussick creeps back into the side. He starts to drop minutes. I think there's still that issue. And I think Riley Smith is the new hooker at Parramatta. He looked pretty good. Some good chat on him. So I think even if he does look like he's the 80-minute hooker to start, I'm not really confident that that'll be the case in round three or round four. So, yeah, just want to know that you might have to switch it up at some stage early on if you see those other hookers there.
So potential trap, Brendan Hands. It is interesting because hooker, there are a few cheapy options, obviously, with Sandon Smith and I'm, you know, obviously there's the Connor Watson, Kalani going sort of switcheroo to be had there as well. So Hands will be interesting if he starts. Joey, you really want to hear a few good noises though out of Jason Roll and the para camp. Tubes, front row forward, not my favourite place for mid ranges, but we obviously get Corey Horsburgh this year at that 350-360k. I've got Big Horse in my team. I think the question for him is, do you bench him? Are you happy to run him at front row forward two, or are you keeping him on the hopefully 80-17?
Yeah, I mean he's the one of the ones I was alluding to before. I think he's just the obvious mid-ranger that could pop this year, whether starting or on the bench. I just think it all comes down to what Ricky does with his minutes, and obviously there's been some positive chatter coming out of there, and he is a good footballer. So if you do pick him, I'll be starting with him as front row forward too, but only because I think I have Tino floating around there as well. So him and Tino both being dual is nice as well, so you can sort of flip them around. Have Tino as your front row forward too, or keep Tino in the back row, depending on how he's going. So I think there's plenty of flexibility around there, especially if you get a dual nuff as well.
Dan, these guys away from Horsburgh, who's obviously very much in the fall and gun category and injury impacted season from last year, guys like your Aaron Clarks, who looks like he might have an okay role at the Warriors, Nahafahu White, who is an emerging front rower, slash lock, who, you know, minutes could be there in the middle. And then you got your players like a Sofa Solomona, who's not a starting option with he's suspended in round two. I just feel for these front rowers that you can't really start with. They're sort of depth options, but that's 150 to 200k that you're not spending on the rest of your squad for players that you're never really going to get a ton of value of and out of, and that you can jump on quite easily at a, you know, whenever you need to.
Yeah, they're all front rowers are always up in the air with minutes. So they're not 80-minute guys. They can have 30-minute games. They can have 55-minute games. And they're all PPM dependent. So I think if you're going to go for a mid-ranger, like you've got Horsburgh, who's got the history of being able to go 80 minutes, big minutes, offloads, like, you know, you can kind of rely on that. the other guys, if the history's there that they're getting that sort of 50, 55 minutes, their base, their PPM's lower than one, really not keen to see them sort of anywhere near my side. I think you can, you know what you're going to expect with that. And some guys are, you know, as you said, the up and comers, White, potentially really good with a couple of middles out of the side of the Roosters there. Toby Couchman is one that's really interesting to me. I think he could explode this year if he gets some minutes.
He's got some pretty pretty decent results from, like, very much under the radar from last year.
Yeah, looks very good. Big up and comer, like an up and comer, getting bigger, and yeah, if he plays, I think he started at front row on the weekends. I didn't catch the game.
But yeah, he did. Yeah. Francis Molo's, like, walking out on the club. He's had a blow up with one of the coaches / Flano, I guess. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah, no, like, Molo's out. Couchman's started front row in their full strength team. Shout out to Rugby League Realm as well. He put me on to the Couchman idea a bit as well, and Dan's also had him on the radar. There's a chance, I would suggest, that he gets front row, second row duel before the season. So I think he becomes a pretty relevant front row forward two option if he does get that front row duel. But yeah, I mean, he's 483 or 490 or something, so he's not, you know, certainly he's at that upper end of the mid-ranger category. But I think, yeah, like Dan said, just some really good numbers from last year, and he looks like he could lock down a role that's sort of that 55-minute range. So
I just
one to watch out for sure.
But do you want to do that? Like, even say he's pretty good. Like, I don't know. Like, say he averages 60. Would that be good? Would you consider that a win for the year? Like, yep. Like, you're going to have Tyrrell May. May and Tino. Like, do you need another 500, nearly 500K guy sitting in your front row forward? Like, it just feels a bit of a waste of money for me, even if
he's averaging 60, I do.
Yeah, you want a rotating front row forward who's averaging 55, over 55 plus. So you want three of those guys. With Tino, Horsburgh, they can move to the second row, got that flexibility. He'll have that flexibility too if he gets that dual position straight up. So I think we spoke about it. If you're going to take a flyer and a mid-ranger, you want them to make at least 100K, if not 150 to 200. That would be ideal. So if he's averaging between 60 and 65, he's making that good cash. And he could be an end game third front row forward. So, yeah,
he'll be doing well to average 60. I just don't think. I mean, even if he does, it's a tough one because then I didn't even mention, obviously, like, Horsburgh sort of sits in there as well. Like, that's three gun, should be pretty good front row forwards. But yeah, obviously, if he starts, he'll be value.
The flex is just so important there. Like Dan said, like, you can't underestimate. Like, I know we got the flex position this year, but I think having these players who you can shift around in conjunction with the flex, I think that's going to be a bit of a cheat code, more so than usual even. So, I'll be having a good look at Couchy. Let's move on to the back row where Couchy's currently residing. But some interesting options, as we said, and I think the real graveyard in the 2RF has been that 400K range. So we had Sean Lane, Brendan Piakoura last season was I think most people are still scarred by his four in the first Vegas game. And he had a very, very poor end to the season. I had a quick look at his numbers today. He was dropping 80-minute games with scores in the 20s. So he's in a fight with, of all people, Jack Koscielski for edge position at the Broncos. But Dan, we've got guys in here, and I'm just going to rattle off a couple popular ones. Kel Mutualangi, who's a guy who's shown some ball playing and tackle busting potential on the edge there for Parramatta. Alex Seyfarth, who else can we throw in there? Probably Finney Fuiaki from the Dolphins. These are sort of guys who are looking, you know, they've got these new roles at their emerging roles at these new clubs. I'm just not sold still on any of them unless you get, I think that what you're looking for types of guys like that in the preseason is big pushes from their head coaches to say, yep, he's our guy, he's our 80-minute man on the edge.
Yeah, particularly the ones you spoke about, Dolphins, Broncos, Parramatta specifically. I think they all look appealing options. So you look at their stats, you look, can they get 80 minutes, potential attack, it looks great. Those three teams as well just have a really stacked back row. So it's really hard to gauge if that's going to be locked down. So, you know, the likes of Finifuaki, Lemuelu, they've got to contend with a fair few people there. They're both good up-and-comers. I like the look of them, but you're just not sure, you know, what the rotations are going to be there. So, again, you're just taking a flyer on the potential 80 minutes. But if they do lock that down, I think some of those options, not terrible, but not interest of me at the start of the season. I'm going to wait to see those roles play out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Tubes, Jack Bird's probably been the most popular dual 2RF CT dub. He's also the cheapest, or just about the cheapest in that dual range. He's got some big numbers from his lock career prior to coming to the Tigers. He's had a very rocky career, I think it's fair to say, both from a Supercoach perspective and NRL, since he burst onto the scene with the Sharkies back in 2015. Is he in your plans?
I don't want him to be. Like, I sort of, a few weeks ago, was thinking I just don't want Jack Bird in my team. Not because of anything to do with him, but I just think he's just had been so up and down, and ever since he left the Sharkies after a couple of very good seasons to start his career, he just hasn't been able to hit his straps. With that being said, under sub 380k, if he's a starting lock for the Tigers, in a team where Seyfarth is potentially playing 80 minutes on the edge, and you know the likes of Twal, etc., sort of on the bench, I think his minutes should be pretty good, and it's really only going to be injury. It feels, with the dual flexibility into centre wing, it feels like a pretty free bet to start the year, as long as he starts. If he's on the bench, I just won't be anywhere near touching him.
He has to be starting at lock, which it looks like he will. Where are you putting him, in 2RF or the centre wing?
No, so I think I'll start him in 2RF. And then with the plan to, when you start getting some cash, hopefully you know, if you ping a couple of good ones in centre wing, then you move him down there throughout the season when you're upgrading into 2RF.
Yep. I won't spend too much longer, Dan, on Bird, but I'm keen to get your thoughts on him, just given he's 30% owned. Very popular. I think he would be, for me, I think he'd be a solid enough pick as a 2RF only, but like we spoke about, that optionality that the dual gives you is just gold, and I think having him up at 2RF to start is a pretty sound strategy.
Yeah, if I take him, it's definitely a 2RF to start with. 80 minutes of lock, it sounds great. Injury prone, so that's a little bit to look out for. And I think the thing about Bird is his versatility really hinders him in Supercoach, because he could play so many positions. So a few injuries go on early, he could be playing centers, you know, 5-8, you know, through the middle with limited minutes. He could even go the back row on the edge. So you can't get consistency with it. So I think he's cheap enough this year that you could, if he gets that lock spot, I'll probably pick him up where I can. But just watch out for those role changes.
Yeah, the good thing he's got on his side is just that they just don't have many big minute middles, the Tigers. They got May, obviously, who's going to have to do a ton of work. You'd think probably 60 to 65. And then, you know, then you're looking at Royce Hunt, who's a small minutes, you know, impact player. David Clemmer and Alex Twal, you know, you're probably not looking to get more than 40 minutes, maybe 50 for Twal on a, you know, struggling week. But they're not they're props. They're not guys who can play lock. Fanua Pole is a bit of a young up and comer, but again, he's more of a bigger middle, sort of, you know, he's got a few skills, but he's not really a ball playing lock. And I think the way that Benji wants to play, he's going to need Jack Bird to be playing that ball playing role. And he's certainly tough enough for the middle. So I'm pretty confident he'll get some decent minutes there.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
Let's move to halfback now, half 5'8" rather, and the two names here, they're both pretty exciting names, to be honest, Tubes. Adam Dewey is a guy who has a very, very friendly Supercoach game. He shot the lights out a couple of years ago at the Tigers. He's obviously had some terrible ACL injuries. And Lukey Metcalf, he's an ex-Sharky, and he looked good last year until he went down with the season-ending injury as well. He's was 5'8". He's moved to halfback, it looks like, for the Warriors this year. Tubes, I'm going to let you have a pick your own Dewey versus Metcalf chat here. Who do you want to start with?
I'll talk about Dewey. I think Metcalf just is a lock and load kicking halfback for the Warriors at the price. Dewey, for me, like, I think it's just a wait and see. Like, I know he's had a Supercoach friendly game. I think Appy's missing round one through suspension or something like that. So you don't know who's going to be goal kicking, which I think is a bit up in the air. I mean, I think I don't know if either played in the trial tonight. So that's a bit of a unknown. I think even if he did get the kick in, him at centre at 436K, I just feel at that price, especially in the 5'8 spot, like you can pick him up later on. And for me, it just feels like a risk that I don't want to take to start off the year with him at 5'8". There's just a few up in the air, as I said, kicking, what's he going to look like at centre? It's really a price that if he was sort of a dominant half or he's obviously played fullback in the past and kicking goals, that's usually when he's excelled from a Supercoach point of view.
Dan, I don't mind the idea of starting with Dewey if he gets a goal kicking at centre, at centre wing, given he's got that dual status. If you then want to run a Metcalf Nuff strategy at 5'8" or a Metcalf, you know, even, you know, probably it looks like Metcalf's going to be close enough to must have, given his role. But even if you were going to go a Munster or a Dillbags at 5'8" with enough, that just gives you a bit of an insurance policy as well on Dewey. We know he's got the ceiling in him, and if he's goal kicking, then that sort of that lifts his floor up a bit as well.
Yeah, I'm a big Dewey fan for Supercoach particularly. I think he's looked great, and unfortunately the injuries have hampered him. I agree. I'm keen on that Nuff strategy at 5'8" for that second one. Metcalf is probably going to be the number one. I don't think I'd run Dewey at number one, 5'8". It's either going to be as the second or in the centre wing. So the good thing about that centre wing flip is Metcalf goes down injured. Dewey can go straight into 5'8", and then you're probably going to find cash-generating centre wing to bring in. So, you know, and then you're going cheaper, you might get 150, 200K spare to upgrade somewhere else. So I'm very keen on that. I think that's good. I think also you could run with, if you want to go antipod, not go Metcalf, you could do Adam Dewey and Blaise Talangi, if the signs are there, who both have that dual status. So you can flip them around to that first 5'8". So I think enough strategy at 5'8" is good to go.
Yeah, I've really warmed up to that recently. Even if I don't want Dewey, I still don't think that's the worst. Because, like, if you do go with Dewey at centre wing to then push him up if Metcalf gets injured or whatever, like you said, you can use that cash at centre wing for cash generating or for getting a gun. And you can always go and sort out 5'8" later once we get these guys who are, you know, either falling in price. But you'd need two injuries to knock out that strategy. So I think that's quite a good insurance policy.
What am I missing? Like, you both have said, like, he's a proven gun and he's shown it before. But he played 5'8" and fullback. Like, why such confidence in a person going to center for the Tigers? Because it's been a good hunting ground in the past?
Didn't say proven gun. You know, he's a good super.
What did he average last year? When he played some centers last year, didn't he? And I'm guessing he's coming in at his averages.
He averaged 49 last year.
So average 49, below price, possible goal kicking. So there's value there.
Yeah, gets a goal kicking. Let's say that's 8 points conservatively. He doesn't have to do anything to go to, you know, 57 average, and he's priced at a 45.
Yeah. And, yeah, just on that, I think he is one to watch, and you don't have to start with him necessarily. I'm also floating with going ultra premium for that first 5-8 spot, so Dealbags or Munster or something like that, and then nothing as my second. And then if you see the signs are there with Metcalf, Dewey, something like that, that's about the same amount of cash. So you could flip to those two mid-rangers if the signs are there. So, yeah, I don't think he's a lock-in for sure, but he definitely interests me.
I kind of want to antipod Metcalf, but just look, the role looks a bit too good, like the amount of ball he's getting. But I think that could be a pretty, you know, pretty ballsy play to do that. I got to think about that one a bit more. It's just one that if you want to take on the crowd or not, and you know, can he? I think he's got a ceiling, and that's the thing that scares me. So that's what you don't want when you're going against the crowd for such a big bet. All right, let's move down to centre wing. And just as we come out of the halves discussion, I do want to say at that point, it is interesting, like positionally for mid-rangers, that, you know, Dan and I have sort of spoken about Dewey and guys like that, that we feel a bit better taking a punt on because we think, you know, whether the upside's there or the role within the team or strategically for the setup of our teams, it works. And then there's guys like the 2RF where there's, you know, it just doesn't feel as comfortable as a general rule. Center wing is a position that I think is the most dependent from a mid-range perspective on how the rest of your team is set up and where you want to spend your money. So I think there is, it's probably the position that I feel the most comfortable about picking a guy because a guy in that mid-range price category, because I just feel like you can get somewhat known value there. You know, these guys are playing 80 minutes or guaranteed, you know, close enough to be playing 80 minutes every week. Sometimes there might be a little bit of their doubt about their role in the team ongoing. So you've got to be a bit careful about depth charts and knowing what the coach is like. Is the team going to start really poorly and is their position in the team at risk? Tubes, let's start with you on some of these mid-range to center wing options. Where do you want to start? Let's go with popular ones. Jarrell Skelton is in that high 400s category. He's come across from the Dogs to the West Tigers this year. Looks like he's locked into that wing. I'm not sure which wing he's going to actually start on, left or right. Does that, one, have you got him in your team at the moment? And two, do you care what wing he plays on?
I think I'm just going to handball this to Dan. I literally haven't got him in my team. And
I thought you were going to say I don't know who he is.
I don't know. Like, I know who he is, but I sort of just went Tigers winger nearly 500k. No thanks. So I'll just hand all that across to Dan.
Just throw a cutout, Tubes. This is an NRL podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, David Nofaluma used to be pretty good on the wing for the Tigers. So Skelton. Big base boy, does a lot of work, very powerful, gets those power stats. Can jag a try, obviously, on the wing there. It's like Supercoach is trying to entice us into buying Tigers this year. I'm not sure why his average was more than what he's worth this year as well. So I'm semi-keen. I think he's nearly at that level of a top-tier center wing, maybe not as your top four end game, but certainly fifth or sixth center wing. I could see him staying in my team, playing on matchups regularly, if not just basing a good amount for the week as well. So I'm pretty keen on Skelton. I think it's fairly safe with the base that he's got. I'm not keen that Tigers are going to go very well, but I don't think that'll matter too much for him.
Yeah, I think for Skelton it'll just come down to, you know, can he get over the stripe a few times in the first, you know, sort of 5-6 rounds. He had 4 games last year. One game he only played 64 minutes, got injured, he got a 27. In 2 of the 4 games he scored a try, and in both those games he went over 90. So he's got those power stats in him, you know, if he's a big body. So those are the type of guys, like, I'm pretty interested as well. He's in my team at the moment. I share Tubes' concerns around the Tigers, but I think he's just got a high enough floor that makes him a nice price. Some of the other emerging options, and some of the ones, you know, there's a few regular names on this list, I suppose. Jack Howarth from the Storm, he had a great year last year. Ben Trbojevic, Burbo from Manly, he looks like he's locked down that edge role at the Manly Seagulls this season. And then another one who's pretty interesting is Munro from the South Sydney Rabbitohs Tubes. He looks like he's gotten that left wing spot vacated by Alex Johnston, who's out for at least half the season with an Achilles rupture. He's a pretty polarizing player, Munro. He's got the pace and he knows where the try line is, but he certainly looks like he's got a very low floor, and he's just under the 400K mark, Tubes.
Yeah, I think I had him in my team most of the start of the season. And I think the thing that can lull you in for him is just that high upside. Like, if South's going a run on that left-hand edge, as you said, we've seen Alex Johnson do it many times before without the base, and especially if Latrell starts off the year firing from round one. And Munro's just electric. Like, his pace is unbelievable. He'll be able to finish. His base is a little bit concerning, so that's probably just the pause. So it feels like a bit of a punt, and you're punting on just some big starts to the year for some of those high upside plays. I think it'll be interesting the other side of the South's back line. It looks like Isaiah Tass at full strength, depending on what happens with Campbell Graham back. But when Campbell Graham's back, it looks like Tass is likely to slot into that right wing spot. He had a bit of a down year, Tass. He had some injuries and was playing in the centres. And South's had a bad year. So if you write that off, if you look back at his 2023 stats, his base was pretty solid. I think it was averaging above 30. And I just think if you look at sort of that South Sydney backline, like we just said, Munro's not really digging you out of your own end. Latrell isn't a known taking a hit up to bring you out of your own end. So it's sort of Tass, Jackie Boy, and probably Campbell Graham. And I just think it's similar, you know, that right edge for the Bunnies can be potent with, you know, potentially White in there, Keon, Kolomatangi, et cetera. Especially if Campbell Graham's back. I think at a little bit cheaper, 312K or something like that, I think the price could be right to start the year with him as a borderline cheapie.
Yeah, I think he's 326 or something.
Yeah, okay.
The only question I've got for South, and I don't really know how to handle it, is you're coming back with, if you've got, potentially you could have Graham, Munro, and Tass all as pretty viable options. I'm not sure, Dan, but that's probably a little bit too much overstacked.
And the trail.
Souths. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think from, you know, if you're talking about a Tass versus Munro, I think you're getting them for completely different reasons. Tass is cheap enough, as in he's going to make cash, I think, just from basing and being out there for 80 minutes alone. I was just looking back at South last year. I mean, they didn't have the best of seasons, but Jacob Gagai, you know, notorious, like, low baser on the wing. He turned up a few times. He went in 6 rounds, made 200K. So I think with looking at that, that's what you're hoping for with a Munro. You know, you're just hoping for that extra fast start, doubles, hat tricks early on, make that cash and upgrade. So I don't mind starting with Munro. and particularly because he's under 400K. So, yeah, I think both are options, but one, you're looking at a bit more of a pace man, maybe a slower burn, maybe Tass, you could start him in your 17 and be confident he's going to go okay. And then Munro, it's a bit more of a flyer.
Are you looking, would you be looking, if you went with the Munro strategy and you obviously said that you're looking for that flyer, if he doesn't get the flyer and he's either looking at hovering around that 400K mark or he might even drop, would you have any hesitation hitting the exit button in sort of round three or four?
Probably not at centre wing because I think there'll be some options coming to make big cash quickly. So whoever does get the flyer, if he's not making it. And I think, as we said last week, I think the strategy this year is just going to be if, as soon as you see some bad signs for mid-rangers, just get them out of your side. Just be ruthless, move them on early.
I just think that, like, that's... It sounds good, but you just always have bigger problems than your 400K mid-rangers that you just can talk yourself into coming good. Like,
they just haven't scored a try yet.
Yeah. I could easily see him going 30-30 and it's just like, oh, that South's run the next few weeks looks pretty good. I could see him just getting a few tries. I do like Munro. It's just such an awkward price. I'm actually Tass over Munro. I think Gagai might have even played the right. I don't think it's like a given that they definitely go on left for their big try scoring moments.
No,
anyway.
It's not. So, yeah. I just think that historically it's a pretty good position, South's wing. You know, you talk about Jack Howarth. I think he looks good as a player, NRL. But historically, you look at the scores for Melbourne centres. It's just the game plan they play isn't conducive to Supercoach score output going well or over a decent base. So I think the history's there for a South winger.
I don't know, Dan. Just, I think you're a bit biased there with Nicky Boy Meany last year sort of taking down the season. You don't want another Storm Santa.
Maybe.
Just back to South for a sec. It is interesting, like, with the Munro conundrum there. Like, they open with Dolphins, Finns, and then Sharkies. Dolphins, Dragons, Sharkies. So very friendly start. But then they run into round four. They run into Penrith, Roosters, Cows, Dogs, Storm. So I think you'd probably be looking at that. I think you go in there with Munro and go, okay, look, let's try and grab that flyer. If we do, we'll ride the cash rises. But if you don't, then you're going to run into that tough draw. So you probably just want to start planning for that downgrade or upgrade option. Anything else, Danny Boy? Centre wing? Anyone else catching your eye in that sort of... There's sort of... You've got a couple of guys there. Maybe Marky Mark from the Roosters. Not going to try his... Let's get into the season a little bit. Let me hear some commentary before I try and pronounce his last name. And Jackie Boy Whiten. And finally, in that collection as well, is just Casey McLean from the Panthers, who's currently in my squad.
Yeah, I think Casey is nearly the safest out of all of them there, 440K. I mean, if he gets the start, he's the depth at Panthers for the wing spots is quite low, so he's competing against his brother for that wing spot. I'm kind of hoping Jesse's there. That's a much better option for the cheap. Go cheap. But McLean showed some good promise with his base work at centre last year. He looks a great player. Panthers are going to score points. So I think he's the most secure mid-ranger nearly of the lot.
Yep, I agree. Unless Marky Mark gets the goal kicking, I'll probably sit on him, just see how he goes. And then the other one there, Jack White. We spoke about Souths a lot. I'm going to struggle to get Jack in the team like this early. Obviously, Wayne there I think will help Jack a lot, but he's a bit of a wait and see for me at this point in time. Fullbacks, obviously the big talking point, which we covered last week, is Isaiah Yongi for that second fullback / flex position. Dan, I've got a note here just around mid-range fullbacks, and I think this is the one position where when we talk mid-range, we're sort of more in that upper echelon of between 500 and 700K. I feel like those guys, not to start the season, I don't think any of them are starting options, but I'm talking about guys like Nickel Klukstad, Pappenhausen, Hammer and Gutho. Maybe with the exception of Pappenhausen, I can see why maybe you'd start with him. But those types of guys, through the season, when you're going to have the cash to maybe not get to a premium, but these guys coming in on their runs, I think some of these mid-range fullbacks with the flex position this year could have a significant role to play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think there's a potential there. You could start with three-gun fullbacks with the flex and maybe go a lesser, so say a Pappenhausen, something like that. The buy in round two is awkward, so I agree with you that it's hard to start with it. But I'm fullback, like I think you were talking about, Matt, you're running some data at the moment on projections, like just how much it depends on the runs that they go on. So if you can see a really dreamy run for three or four games, they've bottomed out in price. I think, you know, that option with the fullback sort of roulette flipping around, especially if the big guns are going down injured, I think that's a great option.
All right. I disagree.
Disagree, Tubes. Good. I was nearly going to end the pot. I was nearly going to end the pot, and Tubes is, what do you got, Tubes?
I just heard Dan talk about fullback roulette, and I just thought I better get in there and have a bit of a chat. No, like I could be biased because of some looking at reviewing my 2024 season and looking at bringing in someone like a Gutho really, really was to a huge detriment to me, looking to antipod the likes of Teddy, Turbo, etc. at the back end of the season. And whilst I do agree with the fact that getting the right runs at fullback, I just think that outside of Pappy, for who you mentioned, Matt, like obviously he's a proven gun and could be back up there with the elite, especially if he does start kicking goals again from a Storm perspective. But I think I'm going to have my hard rule for this year, which I'm going to abide by, which is I'm basically not going to be picking a fullback outside of it, unless there's a gun cheapy like Iongi, but outside of the Teddy, Turbo, Trell, Ponga, Drinky, Walsh, and Pappenhausen, like that's it. Like I'm getting my three from those ones, and
you're not going wide,
not deviating. I think it's a safer play. I think you're going to get more upside. You're only going to regret, realistically, bringing in, because it's not even about them going well. Like they might do well. They might get a couple of good hundreds. But the others are just so good that, like, they're just going to make you pay over the longer term.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. It's it's going to be an interesting season with fullback. Can't wait. Can't wait to see how it prevails and the different strategies that Supercoaches out there launch into. All right, that'll see us out for our second preseason episode of the season. Been good fun, and looking forward to another chat next week. Thank you very much, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Matty. Cheers.
And Tubes, I'll see you bright and early for our little trip away. Should be a beauty. And enjoy your beauty sleep.
Cheers, Matt. You beauty.
See you, everyone. Thank you.